Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center and Aspire Pediatric Therapy. As always, I want to thank my great producer, Adam Zalouf, who, if we sound better, it's all because of Adam and his magic hands. And also want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions. Today's guest is a new friend. I talk about old friends, but he's a new friend. A guy who I've been fortunate enough to be on his show a couple of times, and I'm glad he's on mine, and it won't be the last time. His name is George Espenlob. Again, I've been honored to be on his show, and very honored to have him on mine. And we're going to talk a lot of sports today. George, thank you so much for being on the show, brother.
Thank you, Claudio.
All right. Tell us, first of all, your sports memories as a young man growing up in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Who were some of the teams that you rooted for? And just kind of talk about some of the memories that you had as a youth.
I was strictly a Pirate fan, as everyone else was in Altoona. Those days just bring back so many memories. Days like going to Forbes Field and watching Clemente, Bob Skinner, Billy Verdon. When we played baseball every day, we were always somebody. If you played second base, you were Bill Mazeroski. If you played short, you were Dick Groat, so on and so forth. Lots and lots of memories, Claudio.
Now, you mentioned Bill Mazeroski, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of video of him. I know one of his nicknames was No Touch because of the way he turned to double play. You obviously seen him play many times.
Yes.
Tell us, obviously we know about the big home run in 60, but tell us about his fielding. I mean, a lot of people say he was the greatest second baseman of all time. Tell us a little bit about his fielding.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised there's not a whole lot of a video out there of Bill Mazeroski. It was like, how can I describe it? It was like he had a magic touch that when that baseball was hit and Mazeroski was going to cover it, it was so smooth. He was just so gifted with his hands. I think he had the best hands in baseball. I really do. And when you mentioned it, when he turned to double play, it was awesome to watch. It was effortless on his part. He was like a well-oiled machine, and everything moved precisely. He was just on the ball.
Now, where I live, about 13 miles north of Pittsburgh, a town called Swickley, when I was a little kid, I used to see a lot of the older guys who were probably in their 50s and 60s. I'm 55 now, so I guess I'm the old guy now. But back then, you see a lot of the older guys carrying a transistor radio, and they had it to their ear. And looking back on it, it was nice to see that. Or you see guys on their porch listening to the Pirate games and listening to Bob Prince. And to us, that was magic. Was it like that in your neck of the woods?
Yes, indeed. I had a paper route that I would run every afternoon, and I had a transistor radio. Everybody had a transistor radio, and they had the old box radio or the big Philcos in their homes, and anytime the Pirates were on, you would hear the baseball game. Like you said, somebody sitting on their porch next door, they'd be listening to the Pirate game. Walking on my paper route. If they were playing, I would have the game on. You would go to different homes and stuff. Everybody had it. And Bob Prince, what was it that he used to say? Closer than a gnat's eyelash.
Right.
some of those things, I can still hear them today. it was just awesome, Claudio.
Now, another thing I remember as a kid, you did not wear, like nowadays you see kids wearing Mets, Phillies, Yankees, Astros, whatever. Back then, you just saw Pirates. That was it. As a matter of fact, I remember when Richie Hebner, who was very popular here in Pittsburgh, very popular, still is, when he went to the Philadelphia Phillies, our arch rival, as a free agent, I mean, everybody was shocked. But my point is, nobody wore anybody else's hat but the Pirates. Was it like that in your neck of the woods again, or was there some fans of some other sports teams?
I can't ever remember. Of course, I'm getting to the age now, I can't remember too much. But I can't ever remember someone wearing a different brand of hat other than the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, it seemed a little more innocent, I guess. It seemed like there was more allegiance. You rooted for both the names on the back of the shirt and on the front. Now with all the change, with players going to 3, 4, 5 different teams, what are your thoughts on that, guys? That you grew up with, staying with the Pirates all those years. And I guess, matter of fact, let me say this. I watched a great documentary, which you would enjoy, about the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the love affair that those fans had with those players, and that the players, the appreciation they had for those fans. I don't know if that'll ever be the same again, that close of a knit group.
No, that was a special time. I can remember the times that we went to Forbes Field. And my dad used to say he was a railroader in Altoona. And so we had what they called a pass. We could ride the train by just using dad's pass. And we would go, when we would go to Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, he used to say, they're having a doubleheader. So we'll go for the, get two for the price of one. There was a purity about the game back then. And when those guys, whatever team they would play for, that's where their allegiance was. The team allegiance was to them, and they were an allegiance with the team. And there was just a whole different atmosphere. And I can remember Dad used to always say, we want to get there early so we can be there when they're having batting practice.
Right, right.
Then you might get a ball.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the players would intermingle with the fans, and particularly the kids, from little kids to big kids to adults. They had no problem, none whatsoever. And there was no, what can I say, there was no arrogance. They were very humble, if I could say it like that, back then.
What experience did you ever encounter with a player?
I got to shake Billy Burton's hand. It was only for a second, but I got to shake his hand when we were there one day. And, I watch, people say when they meet a rock star, oh, I'll never wash my hand again. I guess that's what I felt like a little girl that just touched a rock star. I don't never want to wash my hand again. It was only for a second, but and it wasn't a slap or it wasn't a high five. It was a firm handshake that lasted the length of time of a normal handshake. And I will never, ever forget that.
You know, one of my best friends has a son who's about 13, and he enjoys baseball. He loves the game. He reads up on it, and obviously the video games, and loves going to games with his dad. But I've said this a few times to him. I said, I don't know if his son will ever feel the magic that what you just talked about, or when I talk about when I went to my very first game and seeing those guys and or like you said, watching batting practice, going to Three River Stadium. Even when I was a teenager, even when I was a senior in high school, we used to go early and watch those guys, and they were just, as they say, bigger than life. I don't know if kids today are going to feel that magic. That's a crazy question, but do you think that they will with your interactions with people?
No. There was just something, if I might use the word, magical about
baseball. My friend Rick Mitchell always says that, magical, right?
Yes, it was magical about baseball. When you walked into Forbes Field, it was like you were walking out of the real world into a place that was awesome. And you know, when they were saying, take me out to the ball game, it was true. I don't care if I ever get back. Because when you look at the scoreboard, you say, okay, we're going into the seventh, we're going into the eighth. Oh, no, we're going into the ninth, and it's soon going to be over. Right. There was always a tinge of sadness when we would leave. And I don't think the kids can experience that magic that we did.
No. And on that, I remember nowadays, you know, with the pierogi races and the shooting up the shirts up on the from the field and all that. For us, it was just the game. We just wanted to see the game and watch our guys win, not just play. Again, I remember as a kid seeing Stargell. I used to go to the Allegheny Club, which was a restaurant inside of Three River Stadium, and it seemed like the ball would float when especially Stargell, when he hit those monstrous shots, or even during batting practice, those balls would like float. They wouldn't rocket out like they would when you saw them in person outside. I was in person, but I was inside. And again, I just don't know if these kids today are going to feel that magic. And real quick, before we go to commercial, I remember, George, one time I went to Robert Morris University for a autograph card show, and I never forget, about 10 feet away from me, this guy was looking on the back of a 1973 baseball card, Topps baseball card. And I could still see that black and brown color of that card. And I got that tingle again. But then I got really sad. I'm talking about within seconds. As happy as I was to see that card, and I still have all my cards, but at this particular venue, I saw that card, and I was really excited and happy, and I felt good about the way I used to feel like I felt back then. But then I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to feel that way again. I mean, I love doing what I do in baseball without question, but as a fan, that will never come back. And I felt sad about it. Oh, I don't know if that's ever happened to you.
No, you are so right. I think every baseball season, I become more sadder. I become more sadder, and I talk to the television more than ever before.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. We will be right back with George Espinlaw.
Achoo. Spring is here, and so are spring allergies. Are you experiencing headaches, fatigue, nasal congestion, itchy watery eyes, ear pressure, or vertigo? You may have spring and summer allergies. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois. We'll diagnose, treat, and get you feeling better. Allergy therapy could help eliminate these symptoms and avoid the hassles of daily medications, as well as the side effects that go along with them. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center.
Modern solutions with the care you've been looking for. Call Dr. Roscoe's office today, 814-3 75-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, we're back with George Espinlaw talking about our memories as kids in sports. Right now, I guess we've been talking about baseball. But, George, you had a story that you specifically wanted me to ask you about, and that was about the 1960 World Series. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, my. When Pittsburgh went to the World Series, everybody in Pittsburgh and everybody in Pennsylvania, I'm sure even some Philly fans, I find that hard to believe, but I think some Philly fans even got on the bandwagon. But nonetheless, it was awesome. And as the games went on, and then we come down to game seven. We had just come home from school. Now, when we went to school, I was in junior high school at the time. When we went to school, we took our transistor radios, because when the World Series game would come on, it was coming on that day, we would be allowed to listen to it. So it was like Pittsburgh Pirate Day at school. Up until the game come on, and then after that, everything was shut down except the transistors. But we had come home, walking home, listening to transistor radio, and things weren't going too good for Pittsburgh. And right. We got to my friend's house down at the bottom of the hill, and we went in, and he had a pool table in this one room, and we had just cut the sticks down off the wall. And I can remember exactly what the room looked like, where I was standing when it happened. And Mazeroski hit that home run. It was like Dorothy clicking her heel three times and coming back home. I mean, it was unreal. I remember his dad just walked in. And when that happened, of course, we had the radio blasting. When that happened, his dad was jumping up and down, hollering. His mom was. I was. He was. His brothers were. I mean, everybody just went crazy because the unbelievable had happened. And I will never forget that day as long as I live. It was just awesome, Claudio.
Right. I think that's why sports is so important. You know, it gives you, especially like times like now with everything that's going on in the world, it gives you time to get away from that. Or in your case with that story, it just gives you a great memory. They say memories are roses in December. You know, years later, you still remember that. And obviously a lot of people do. I'll tell you a quick story. Maybe about 3-4 years ago, I was in a golf tournament, and the TV show that I am on, they were covering the celebrity golf event. So there was obviously a bunch of former Pirates and Steelers or whatever. So I was one of the golfers. I wasn't on TV that day. So our producer said, "There's Bill Mazeroski. Go interview him." I said, "What? Go interview him." And I had met Maz when I was a little kid, you know, but you know, I wasn't friends with him. He didn't remember me. So I said, "I'm just not going to go up to him." He says, go up to him. So they threw a mic in my hand, turned the camera on, and I said, what the hell am I going to ask him? So you can still see it. It's on, you can look on YouTube, look up the Louis Lips Celebrity Golf event, I guess, or you can look up my name and Bill Mazeroski. And, or I'll send you a clip. I'm sure I have it somewhere. But, I asked him, I said, top of my head, one thing I did ask him, how does it make you feel when everybody still, after all these years, comes up to you and say, "Hey, thank you for the memories," or "You were my hero," or "It's an honor and a thrill to meet you." How does that make you feel? And he said, I don't understand it. He said, "I don't get it." And you can see that he really meant that. He didn't understand what the big fuss was about him. And he's a great guy, very humble guy. And hell, there's high school coaches who haven't done anything, who act big time. And here's a guy, Bill Mazeroski, who hit probably the most famous home run in sports in baseball history, and who's in the Hall of Fame, and he doesn't get it. So, but that was, the interview turned out pretty good, but it was a nice thrill for me for sure. But now you mentioned that game that you'll never forget because of the big home run. What game to you was the most heartbreaking, one that you won't forget, that just knocked you down?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not so sure I have an answer to that. There were several. I can remember Harvey Haddix. Do you remember Harvey Haddix?
Sure, the no-hitter.
Yeah, when he pitched, I can remember that. But as far as having one that really turned me upside down, I can't recall any, Claudio.
Go ahead. Well, around here, I'd say for the past people who are my age, 55 and over, maybe even 50 and over, 45 and over, was October 14th, 1992. I know that day because that was my birthday. And that's when Sid Bream, the Pirates were one out away from going to World Series. And then Sid Bream scores the game winner. And I remember I was watching the game with my dad. And I was not the fan that I was of the Pirates, like in the 70s and the 80s. But I still wanted them to go to the World Series. So I remember I wrote down five outs. And I remember crossing them off. Well, now, and there's still one left, because they never got that out. So around here, that was a killer. But so again, besides the Harvey Haddix no hitter, there was nothing that you remember that was that sticks with you all these years.
No, because when we would go to a game, or of course we would listen to them every time there's on the radio. Immediately after the game, whether they won or whether they lost, we would be on the baseball field, and I'm sure like you guys were growing up.
Yeah, we did the same thing, right?
Yeah, we were on the baseball field from morning until night, until you couldn't see no more.
Right.
And after the game, we would go play, because everybody wanted to emulate who their guy was.
Right.
All right, I'm going to play right field because I'm going to be Clemente. Okay, I'll play third base because I want to be Dick Hope. I want to be shortstop Dick Groot. And we'd go out and we would replay the game. But this time when we replayed the game, if there was enough daylight left, and it was a day game, if this time when we played the game, we won. So it's like brushing off the loss, but we're going to reconnect and make this thing work, and it's going to come out for our better, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, you mentioned something there. Let me ask you a question now. Do you watch a lot of games today, a lot of baseball games?
I do. Okay. I don't watch them in their entirety anymore, but I do watch a lot of baseball.
Now, when you said that you guys used to go out and play and pretend to be those guys, and we did the same thing. We would try to be Starge or Richie Hebner, or, Clemente had passed by then, but we still remembered his basket catches and the way he played. Or if you watch, if you listen to Billy Crystal or Bob Costas talk about Mickey Mantle, they would try to run like him. My point is, there was something about those guys. Like if I said to guys my age, and you too as well, Bill Madlock, so we could imitate the way he would bat, or the way we could go down the lineup with Omar Marino, Tim Foley, Parker, Stargell, Madlock. We could bat the way those guys would bat, emulate those guys. Or Richie Hebner used to tug the back of his shirt when he would bat, and his open stance and the way he would have his setup. Nowadays, I mean, I don't watch anywhere near as much as I used to, but it seems like everybody's cookie cutter. There's no thing about these guys today. Like they all look like a guy that you would see at the mall. I mean, they just walk right by you. I mean, I wouldn't know who the hell they are. Am I wrong, or do you agree with that? For on
no,
your
no.
end?
No, I agree 100%. When you were thinking about how we could all emulate the guy that we was wanting to do,
right.
I was thinking of Smokey Burgess.
Yeah.
When he was a catcher, and he had that funky stance that's hard to describe, but he was like the upper part of his body was leaning way back, and then you had guys like usual. But I watch these guys today, and I sit in awe, and I wonder why they don't hurt something, because they just don't look right.
No.
So, but you're right. I could pass one on the street and I wouldn't even know who it was.
No, and think about it. There's more coverage back when I was a kid. Again, we would have a Pirate game, maybe two games a week, maybe. And then you'd have the Saturday game of the week with Kirk Gowdy and Tony Kubek and Joe Gradual in that group. But yet, we can name the starting lineup of the Minnesota Twins. But now, when you have the access to every single game and ESPN and the internet and all that, nobody knows who anybody is. Maybe they do. I know I don't. But we were lucky for sure to grow up in the eras that we did. But we're gonna take another quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar in Trafford, Pennsylvania, and criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call 412-963-9308. We'll be right back with George Espenlob.
Spring is here, and so are spring allergies. Are you experiencing headaches, fatigue, nasal congestion, itchy watery eyes, ear pressure, or vertigo? You may have spring and summer allergies. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois. We'll diagnose, treat, and get you feeling better. Allergy therapy could help eliminate these symptoms and avoid the hassles of daily medications, as well as the side effects that go along with them. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center.
Modern solutions with the care you've been looking for. Call Dr. Roscoe's office today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at aspirepediatrictherapy.com. We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, George, in your travels over the years, I know now you live in Delaware. Have you ever seen more passionate fans than Pittsburgh fans? And I'm talking about Penguins, Pirates, and Steelers. I mean, I whenever they say America's team, Dallas, boy, I never got that, because hell, you go to any NFL city and you're going to damn near have more Steeler fans than you will that home team's fans. And as far as Pirate fans, it's not the same passion as it used to be, but it's still out there considering all the hits, or maybe lack of hits, that the team has taken. But what are your thoughts on the Pirate fans compared to other fans?
Oh, I don't think there's any comparison, honestly. Whether it was football, baseball, hockey, regardless. I mean, we were rabid fans. It was just, that's just the way it was. Myron Cope, the man that started the terrible towel.
Right.
That's just one example. I mean, it don't get no bigger or better than that. You just can't beat a Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like I said, it kills me whenever I see they'll be playing wherever, you know, in Oakland, and you'll see all these terrible towels, and it's funny. It's funny, and I know the opposing team doesn't like it. Let me ask you a couple things here. Where were you when you heard, or maybe you saw it, but the Immaculate Reception?
I was in my dad's living room. And I couldn't believe what I saw. In fact, it was one of those things that I didn't see that. No, that's no. You know, your head couldn't process it.
Right.
It was just unreal.
And the Clemente passing. I know exactly where I was. My parents and I, we were visiting a friend, and she said, somebody from the Pirates got killed today in an airplane crash. And she didn't say who. She just had heard it on KDK, and she didn't hear a name or anything. So we were like, wow, you know, we just didn't think names or anything. We just, you know, it was shocking. And then as we went down the hill, that's when the announcer, I don't know who the announcer was, but they said that Clemente had passed. And I remember just a silence in our car. And I remember we pulled up in front of our house. Maybe we were only about a mile from our friend's home. And I never forget, my dad said, it seems like the good die young. I never forget that. I know exactly where he said it. As I've said, I live in the same house I grew up in, so I can see the spot where he said it out my window. Where were you when you first heard the Clemente passing, and what were some of your thoughts?
I was on my way to mom and dad's house. I lived about 5 miles away from them. And I was on my way to their house. I had the radio on. And the news report came over. And it was like, nah. It was one of those things that you hear it, but you're thinking, what? And I was probably about 2 miles from mom and dad's house. And it took me the rest of the 2 miles to get there to really, as I was listening to the things going on, to realize that this is real. And I walked in, and Dad was in the kitchen, and I said, Roberto Clemente got killed. And I can remember he had big hands, and he put them out to the side, and he said, what? And I'll never forget that. And I told him, and he said, oh, my. That was his exact words. Just a shocking time.
It was. I still have I don't know what magazine it was, but I still have it here in my office. It's framed in memoriam. And I'm looking at the picture right now. And it's after all these years, it's still, I guess it comes to surface a little bit more after the Kobe Bryant thing. And unfortunate accident with Kobe Bryant and those people. Boy, it was, I can only imagine how Pittsburgh was. I mean, I don't remember too much outside of here in my home, how we were about it. And I remember, you know, all of a sudden there were a bunch of books written on Roberto. And I remember my parents buying me every one of them, you know, and so it was definitely a sad time. Your thoughts on the two Pirate, well, three, let's go with three, since you saw all three. The 1960 World Series, which you talked about. Talk about the 1971 Pirate World Series win and the 1979 Pirate World Series win.
How can I say this? In 1971, there was a lot of things going on in my life. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did they play Baltimore both times?
Yes. Yes, both 71 okay. and 79.
Okay. In 71, things were foggy. How about that? There were some things that was going on I can't tell you much anything that went on in 1971, Claudio, without going. So I'll let that along. And, right. and the other one, I remember parts of it. I was in a place just outside of Uniontown at the time. And I was doing some work out there. And so I can barely remember, but I remember parts of it.
Okay.
I can't remember all of it.
All right. So, well, hopefully you remember the 79 team a little better.
Yeah, a little bit better.
What were your thoughts on that group?
That's when, who was there? Oliver and Stargill.
Well, that was 71.
That was in 71. Okay.
Yeah.
in 79, I can remember very little of that.
Okay.
I was involved in some things. I mean, they weren't illegal or bad or anything like that. But
now we're getting to a whole other subject here, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was involved in some things that it took all my time and my focus on that.
Okay.
In what I was doing. I mean, it wasn't nothing bad or anything like that. It was just I was totally involved in what I was doing.
Let's call it life.
Yeah, life got in the way.
Okay. All right. Well, for me, I told this story before, and I'll share it with you. The 79 team, again, I used to, a guy who used to be an uncle, he's I don't consider him that anymore, but that's another story for another chapter, but he used to take me to the Pirate games, and I used to go down to the locker room, so I knew a lot of those guys since I was a little kid. So it was very special for me to go to those games, but I play in golf tournaments with a lot of them and still friends with many of them, and I was invited to the 79 reunion that they had here in July, and so being in the room with those guys with, you know, the guys I know the most are Jim Rooker and Rennie Stennett. He's the one who invited me. Candelaria and Grant Jackson and Omar Marino and all those guys. And here I am in a room with them. And I'm, as I said, 1,000 times, I'm 55, and I'm still starstruck by these guys, even though I see many of them all the time. Grant Jackson, another good friend. But as they were showing the clips of the game on the scoreboard, I remember, you know, my wife sitting next to me and standing next to me, and I got really emotional. Number one, I was emotional because I really enjoyed that team, you know, the We Are Family team. That was, you know, that no team ever had that kind of personality, you know, with the music and the attitudes and the look and the swagger. I mean, those guys were just one of a kind, and they were great to watch, very enjoyable group. Then I started thinking about, what the hell am I doing in this room with all these guys? You know, it was kind of crazy. I'm looking around at these guys, the Parkers and as I said, Candelari, Grant Jackson, Rooker, these guys. And I'm saying, what am I doing here? And then the third thing that got real emotional was, you know, what I've been blessed to be able to do now for 37 years between coaching and scouting professionally. Just very, very grateful to be doing what I'm doing. Yes, I don't like the game, where it's going and all that kind of stuff, but I love doing what I do. And I just got very emotional. And, you know, that was, again, you talk about magical, and that was a very magical evening for me. And that team, like I said, I still love watching documentaries about that team. And obviously still very popular around here. And they still, those guys still light up a room. I mean, with the way they act and how great they are with people, with fans, they're just bigger than life, which I don't know if that's the case anymore with players and teams. I don't know if you'll ever see a team with that kind of flair. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that? Like the lack of personalities, flair, showmanship, whatever you want to call it.
I think those people were humble. And just as you said, you were so grateful and you was questioning, what am I doing here? Why me? What am I here? That's humility. And all those guys that played in that era were so humble. There wasn't nothing like the big me or the big I. It was us. And like you mentioned, Bill Mazeroski, what's the big deal? You know, but that's how they lived and walked in their life. And they still continue to do that. They wasn't looking for the sun to shine on them. They just loved what they were doing. They were grateful for what they're doing, and appreciative of the fans, because they love the fans and the fans love them. And I don't think that's happening today.
No, and I agree with you. And you know, they also, I've been very blessed and fortunate to be in the company of Bruno Sammartino, and that guy there was as big as it got. I can't prove this, but I think I'm almost positive that he has appeared on more magazine covers than any athlete ever, because wrestling used to produce 10 magazines a month in the 60s and 70s. And he was on every single one of them. But here's a guy that always talked about the fans. And then whenever he was with the fans, he always gave of his time, never turned an autograph down. Just good with the fans. And now I just think these guys now are vanilla, and people might say, well, it's because they're making $32 million a year. Well, I get that. But when these guys were making, you know, maybe $50,000 or $125,000, our fathers were making maybe $20,000. So I know there's not as big of a gap as there is now. I get that. But I don't know. I think those guys, even if they were accountants or whatever, I still think it'd be the same thing. I just don't see the personalities out there that you saw when we were coming up. I mean, I just don't see it, and I think it's unfortunate. But I guess that's society, I guess.
You mentioned Bruno Sammartino. He was awesome, and I think the other thing, Claudio, is like Johnny DeFazio, he wrestled.
Yeah, Jumpin' Johnny.
Yeah. And what was it? Ace Freeman. Like Johnny DeFazio, he worked for J&L Steel.
Yeah.
You know, so it was nothing for these guys, regardless of what profession they was in, that when the season was over, they would go to work like normal people. They wasn't making big buckaroos.
And it's funny you say that, because I have a 1960 yearbook of the Pirates, and everybody had a side job. This guy was selling insurance. This guy would sell fences.
Yeah.
This guy would sell tires at a store. But the only guys who didn't have jobs in the winter, when I remember, and maybe Clemente didn't, and Mazeroski didn't. I mean, they did, you know, Mazeroski, I'm sure, did something, some endorsements, product endorsements or what have you. But yeah, you mentioned Jumpin' Johnny. He was in the unions, and you're right. These guys all had, they had their celebrity life, let's call it. And then they had their life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were grounded.
They were grounded. Well put.
Yeah, their head wasn't swelled up.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take our final commercial break. I don't know if it's our final one. Adam will sneak in a few more for our great sponsors. But anyway, we're going to take a commercial break here from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. And Lee Davison Associates Legends Division, and of course, criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh, Fox Chapel. call Eric's office at 412-963-9308. We'll be right back with George Espenlob.
Achoo. Spring is here, and so are spring allergies. Are you experiencing headaches, fatigue, nasal congestion, itchy watery eyes, ear pressure, or vertigo? You may have spring and summer allergies. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois. We'll diagnose, treat, and get you feeling better. Allergy therapy could help eliminate these symptoms and avoid the hassles of daily medications, as well as the side effects that go along with them. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center.
Modern solutions with the care you've been looking for. Call Dr. Roscoe's office today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you. Need a celebrity for an event? Visit the Lee Davis and Associates Legends Division Facebook page. Available for speaking engagements, autograph shows, ribbon cuttings, product endorsements, and other type appearances. We have World Series champions like Jim Rooker, John Candelaria, Grant Jackson, Rennie Stedett, Al Oliver, Ken Griffey Sr., football legends Roman Gabriel, Vince Papale, Louis Lips, Super Bowl champions Marv Kellum, Robin Cole, boxing champions Donnie the Golden Boy Lalonde, Vinny the Pasmanian Devil Paz, and yours truly, Claudio Relsano. Contact us through our Facebook page at Lee Davis & Associates Legends Division or at relsano16@gmail.com.
Okay, George, before we get on to what you're doing now and how people can watch you, we have something here called the Eric Jackson Lurie Lightning Round. Well, I will ask a few quick questions and we'll get a few quick answers from you. Number one, what player from the past would you like to have a catch with?
Willie Mays.
Great answer. Okay. If you could go back to one game and be in attendance, what game would that be?
It would be the World Series, when Mazeroski hit his home run.
All right. Favorite venue that you have ever been in?
I would have to say, and I know I'm oldie, Ford Field. I just loved it. I just loved it. It was like a cathedral to me.
Right. And that's the way I love, again, in my office, right? In my home, I have tons of pictures and statues of Three River Stadium. I loved Three River Stadium. Your thoughts on Three River Stadium?
I liked Three River Stadium. There were two reasons why I liked it. Number one, there was a man who lived in Springfield, I think it was called Springfield, right outside of Pittsburgh, who had a cinder block big operation. And he was the man who was contracted out, you know, to build every cinder block that was in Three River Stadium, his company put there. The other thing was, we were such good friends that he used to give me his season ticket so we could go to the ball game. Three River Stadium was awesome. I mean, it was opened up. You know, Ford Field had they called him the pillars underneath the roofs and stuff. It was like he was walking into an open place.
Right.
And it brought things right up to you.
And what do you think of PNC Park? Put them in order. Forbes, Three Rivers, and PNC Park. And put Heinz Field in there as well.
I've never been to either one of those.
Okay.
The only ones that I was ever at was Forbes Field and Three Rivers.
Okay. For me, and I know people aren't going to agree with me, but again, I absolutely love Three River Stadium. Had obviously a ton of memories there for years. But structure-wise, the way that building looked from a distance when you were on the Gateway Clipper, or if you were up Mount Washington, for those of you who don't know, that's where you can see the entire city. Mm-hmm. When there was a restaurant up there called the Georgetown Inn, with my, which my wife and my daughter and my dad, we used to go up there all the time. And you look at Three River Stadium, it lit up. For me, it was absolutely beautiful. And like I said, I have so many pictures in my home, looking at them right now in my office here, and just love that building. You know, PNC, people talk about the view. Okay, well, how about the ballpark itself? To me, it's nice. You know, I'm not saying it's not nice, but for my eyes, for my money, I went February of 2001 when they blew Three River Stadium up. I was heartbroken. I really was. I was sad. Still am after all these years. Still am. But tell us now what you're doing media wise in Delaware. But tell us where we can watch you, what we can read your work, and tell us how we can be entertained by you.
We lived here in Delaware now for going on 36 years, and we have our radio show, we have our live streaming show, we have our blog. We're in the process of building a network where we can bring more shows on. Got a lot going on. We're on Spreaker.com with our radio shows, and we do our live video shows, our live streaming shows, and you can go to the George Espinlove Show on Facebook. That's the George Espinlove Show on Facebook, and so there you can see all the videos that we've done. We started that in October. They've been very successful. We've had guests from all over the place and all walks of life. Claudio, you were on there. So you can go there and you can see one, some, or all of those. You can go back to Spreaker and just type in the George Espinlove Show, and all the past shows will come up, and you can download them, listen to them again, distribute them, do with them what you want. Our blog site is theespinblog.com. And I need to caution people, when you go to theespinblog.com, there are some serious things on there, but there are some real characters on there also. So just check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about, theespinblog.com. So day by day, we are producing radio shows and live streaming shows and working on the blogs and putting some articles up on Newsbreak, and that's about what we're doing, Claudio.
Well, that's a lot, and I'm honored to, as I said, be on your show a couple times, and I'm honored to be now on your network, which we're going to be very excited about that. More people can hear our show, and again, I thank you for that opportunity. Thank you, and we are, as I said, excited to be on. And tell them how they can hear our show again. I know we're going to be on Fridays at 4 p.m. and on Mondays at 9 p.m. Tell everybody how we can. I have it written down, but you go ahead and tell us how our show can be heard on your network again.
Yeah, you'll hear Claudio. His show will be on Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. and then again on Monday morning at 9 a.m. Just simply go to Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com/user/Espinblog, E-S-P-E-N-B-L-O-G. Or you can just go to the George Espinlove Show page on Facebook, the George Espinlove Show, and it'll be right up there. You can click on it right there, and you'll be in a heartbeat. You'll be able to listen to Claudio's show. So either one. I'd say the easiest way to do it is just go to the George Espinlove Show on Facebook, and you'll see when it pops up, when it goes live, and click on that, and you'll be in.
All right. Well, you know what? Hang on a second after we're done here with the show, because I wanted to talk to you about a couple things about that. But, George, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. It was great going down memory lane with you, and hope you enjoyed being on as well.
Oh, I did, Claudio. And I'm sorry for the blank out there on 71, 79.
That's okay. That's okay. That's all right. Like I said, we'll leave it to life getting in the way.
There you go.
All right, brother. Well, again, we'll have you on again. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, brother. Okay, everyone. That was George Espenlod. Great guy, as I said. It was a lot of fun to have him on the show. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and the outros. Adam Zalouf, my fantastic producer, who's a great guy as well. Always have to add that because it's true. Always want to thank my sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania, 412-372-3667. Criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh. Fox Chapel, call Eric, 412-963-9308. We have a lot of great guests coming up. We may have some really big guests coming up. I'm waiting for some confirmation on that. All of our guests are great guys and great people, great stories, and I know you guys enjoy listening to them. You can listen to our show on ClaudioRealsano.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now on Spreaker.com/user/Espenblog. You can listen to us there. Subscribe to the show. And as always, I have to thank Olindo and Ida Realsano, my mom and dad. Wouldn't be doing anything without them. And always thank you guys for listening to the show. Tune in next week. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Realsano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRealsano.com.
Spring allergies. Are you experiencing headaches, fatigue, nasal congestion, itchy watery eyes, ear pressure, or vertigo? You may have spring and summer allergies. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois. We'll diagnose, treat, and get you feeling better. Allergy therapy could help eliminate these symptoms and avoid the hassles of daily medications, as well as the side effects that go along with them. We can help at the Roscoe Allergy Center.
Modern solutions with the care you've been looking for. Call Dr. Roscoe's office today, 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Dom Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.